right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies Chuck and John. And Chuck, in the person, in the flesh.
Hey now.
Early morning on Wednesday, a holiday weekend, and John Skyping in from Kansas.
Yoder, Kansas. Amish country, to be precise.
That doesn't sound right.
And these are the most half-assed Amish people you'll ever see.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed in the Amish community.
Do they have four-wheelers?
So many four-wheelers. so many tractors.
They have do they use Bluetooth?
Just blazing through downtown in their tractor with like a trailer full of children.
Yummy.
Yeah, four-wheelers and tractors, nary a horse to be seen. I thought we'd be seeing carriages, buggies. I was excited. You know, I'm a big fan of Peter Weir film Witness. Very excited. Nothing.
I gotta say, when I drive to Memphis to go to Grizzlies games, when you get about 20 miles out along I-40, there apparently is a bunch of great four-wheeling territory because there's always people on four-wheelers with their whole families just flying down the sides of the interstate.
It's a legion of four-wheelers. It's like Black Biker Week, but some kind of white power four-wheeler week.
You're saying in Kansas or in Memphis?
Memphis.
Yeah. No, that lets me know I'm getting close to the grindhouse when I see the people just throwing up the dirt along the side of the interstate, children hanging off the back, just bouncing over little hill and dale everywhere. Anyway, for this holiday weekend, did we have a chance to have breakfast?
Man, I didn't.
No Chuck?
Last night was mad real. I ended up eating some ibuprofen for breakfast.
That's just a day in the life.
Yeah. I ended up going to a rap show and I had to get into a fight after the show.
You had to get into a fight?
It was required. There was magical things going on in front of me. The bouncers doing absolutely nothing while some poor kid was getting pummeled by a drunk.
Oh.
And I had to step in.
Your sense of right and wrong kicked in?
It was instinctual. And I kind of wanted to punch the kid the whole time he was talking shit. So when the opportunity arose,
a hero.
I picked him up and threw him on his head. And then he got up, which was surprising. I think he might have been on PCP or something like that.
My one experience in the very club you're talking about was with a person on PCP, and he had super strength.
This guy was 160 pounds, and I kept punching him, and he wouldn't fall. And that has nothing
that's
to do
not
with
good.
Yeah. But you, to be clear, you kept punching him as peacemaker.
I was the guy. Well, once he got up and swung at me, it was me going, okay, now it's personal. You know,
Sorry, I threw you on your neck. Then your Matt Geiger thing kicked in.
Oh yeah, turned it all the way to Matt Geiger. Geiger meter on 100.
The PCP offender against me punched me in the stomach so hard that I lost control of my bladder.
Ooh.
Oh, sounds like PCP 1, John 0.
And unlike Chuck, I was not trying to play peacemaker. This dude was just walking around punching people, women included, in the face. Oh. I'm just lucky it was me in the stomach.
So Chuck, for your breakfast, you had the ibuprofen to kind of wear off some of the...
Yeah.
You're a little sore from the pummeling?
A little sore. I think I might have sprained my ankle.
It's tough, man.
Ibuprofen and shame.
Kicking him in his ribs.
Should have done what I did, Chuck. I found the biggest, baddest, most female bouncer in the in the club, and she took care of that.
That's dope.
I wasn't going after this guy.
The worst part is I ate like $50 worth of sushi just like 2 hours before.
You barfed it up?
I almost did. It came very violently close to coming out. So that was my breakfast.
John, did you have any breakfast on family vacation out in Kansas?
I haven't had breakfast this morning because I'm actually the first person up. But yesterday I had a hearty Heartland breakfast.
From Hardee's?
Some sort of if only, Chuck. There are no restaurants in Amish country. There's one called Carriage Crossing, which I think must have inspired. I'm not kidding. Which I think must have inspired Cracker Barrel from the insides, anyways. But yesterday I had some sort of egg and cheese scramble, a large helping of hash browns, bacon, and then something I've never had called, you guys ever had this? It's a Heartland thing, bubble loaf.
No, I never had that never had that sweet bubble loaf.
So you know those delicious yeast rolls that we all love? No one wants to admit that we love, but we all love. It's those things, but then covered in like brown sugar, cinnamon, pecans, and some kind of icing.
Ooh.
It's remarkable.
You had me
instant,
when
instant
you said
diabetic
icing.
Coma. Yes. But yeah, very. It sustained me throughout a long, long day of commiserating with family members.
And antiquing, I hear.
Oh, so much antiquing. So much
antiquing
racist.
Takes the life from me. But anyway.
So many racist antiques in the world.
So, well, they're historical. It's okay. It's just,
I guess.
It's heritage, jeez. John. Heritage. Heritage, not hate, was the bumper sticker in my hometown.
Oh, God.
My breakfast, I actually had a breakfast this morning. I had a nice English muffin with some bacon and ham and cheese on it. It was wonderful.
And pixie sticks after?
No sugar yet this morning. I've even cut out the creamer in the coffee. I just don't, you know.
I'm drinking a ginger ale.
Hey, there you go.
That's a
sugar kick. All right. Well, those were our breakfasts. After our breakfasts, we get to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong on any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
I've been really hard on Vince Carter over the years since he's come to the Grizzlies.
Oh, let it out, John. Let it out.
He even called him a sleeper agent, a poison pill. The likes of Brandon Wright, who most certainly was. But 39-year-old Vince Carter is playing some of the best basketball, most efficient basketball of his career.
I mean,
his true shooting percentage
of his career, John?
64 efficiency. Yeah. Especially like, I mean, his last five games are ridiculous.
Oh yeah. No, he's playing awesome.
He's averaging 16-4-2 with a 664 true shooting percentage. I feel bad.
That's Stauskas-esque.
I feel bad.
Nick Stauskas
leading
the
number
league
one
in true shooting.
Yeah. and he's just another thing is he's been amazing on defense. I feel like maybe not like individual plays, but just being heady as a team defender and helping the team be, you know, as we're going to talk about, I'm sure, relentlessly and annoyingly, the Grizz look like the Grizz of old, at least on the defensive side of the ball. And I think Vince Carter has been a huge part of that. So I'm going to apologize to you, Vince, and now I'm going to thank you, Vince.
Yeah, I mean, starting from opening night, Vince had that big, he shut down Andrew Wiggins going down the stretch, helped the Grizzlies get that win. And then when the Grizzlies were struggling, Vince was the only guy playing well, and now the Grizzlies are playing really well, and Vince is still like holding this team together. Now they're missing Chandler Parsons, and they're missing James Ennis, and it's just Vince out there looking spry.
And Andrew Wiggins was born during Vince Carter's senior year of high school. So to put that into perspective.
So I think we could all agree that there is some performance-enhancing drugs at play here.
There's jaguar hormones.
There's no question about it.
Perhaps. Platelets. No. Doing something to his platelets, platelet injection.
I think, while it's wonderful that it's happening now, I would probably temper my excitement.
There are no signs. Hey, Chuck, when's the last NBA guy who got suspended for PEDs?
I know. Well, I'm not saying
I'm not going to be worried about
it. If it is that, then it's good. You're looking forward to a great season of insanity. But if it's not, then
After 28 players on the roster last year, the Grizzlies deserve some PEDs.
They do.
I think it was Nick Calathes for performance-enhancing hair drug.
All right. I apologize. Because I have a kid, and I've been trying to get him to watch Space Jam, and he just won't watch it. He wants Power Rangers, and I feel like I'm failing as a father. That the greatest basketball movie of all time.
Blue Chips?
Yeah, it's Space Jam.
Do you mean
got game?
Do you mean Blue Chips?
It's Space Jam, guys. Come on.
I'm very late to the Space Jam. I didn't watch it until three years ago.
Mm-hmm.
First time I watched it, yeah, it's awful.
Oh, it's the best.
Like if you don't have any like attached childhood sentimentality to that movie, it is a like a humorless, charismatic free McDonald's commercial.
You're so wrong.
And that's it.
You ready? You ready to find out what Chuck's baseline for his kid's life is, Keith?
What's that?
Hey, Chuck. I've never seen Space Jam, and I turned out just fine.
Oh, I have now switched over to Chuck's side.
See?
Let me explain to you guys.
Chuck's side of the argument.
This movie has Bill Murray in it, Michael Jordan getting sucked into a golf hole.
Yep.
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray's great. Muggsy Bogues is the highlight in the
Muggsy
movie.
Muggsy Bogues.
Muggsy Bogues is hilarious in this movie.
They have, you know, Sean Bradley as the big goofy alien character.
The Monstar?
The Monstar.
Well, I mean, Sean Bradley as himself. Don't be rude.
I think greatest basketball movie, close second is Hoosiers.
I thought it has a pretty questionable portrayal of a sexy
White
bunny
man can't
cartoon.
Jump, says
the only female basketball player in the movie, like, she's, tramps around.
Well,
like,
but she's also really good, so it's all about feminism.
Yeah.
It's identity politics in the early 90s.
Isn't the set of Space Jam where Michael Jordan learned to hate Charles Barkley? Isn't that true?
Sounds about right. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I did read an article. I can't remember. There are so many articles being written on Space Jam in like the last week because it was the 20-year anniversary. But one of them was saying how it shows a perfect glimpse of Michael Jordan because for no reason he voluntarily bets all of his teammates into a life of slavery for no reason. like at halftime of the game, he bets the Monstars, like, you can enslave all of us forever if we don't do it. And it's like, that isn't what we were playing for. Why did you add that to the stakes for no reason?
Like, he's just a degenerate gambler.
There is a sign of his compulsion to gamble. My apology. I mean, we do need to say, you mentioned Vince Carter, John. We do need as a whole to apologize for the Grizzlies because the technicalities of us recording is a lot of times so far this season, we've had to record on a Wednesday, and then Wednesday's a big NBA night. So last week, we assumed the Clippers would destroy the Grizzlies. Little did we know that Mike and Mark would go 11 for 14 from three, and they would win that game. So yes, apology there. And of course, the Grizzlies have proven us wrong with an incredible run throughout the whole week. However, since we're going to talk about the Grizzlies so much, I'm going to officially use my apology on one Nick Young.
Nick Young, dear.
Who we put down for years because he was terrible. The biggest statistical surprise of the year for me is probably that Nick Young is playing 27 minutes per game and shooting 46% from the field.
And hitting game-winning shots that aren't intended for him.
Right. So we honestly thought, and I think a lot of people honestly thought, that Nick Young wouldn't even be on this roster. The Lakers didn't seem like he was part of their plans. They were bringing in the whole new attitude of Luke Walton to try to change the culture.
Cool hand Luke.
And then also Nick Young is starting, playing huge minutes, shooting a great percentage. I mean, the last 2 years, he was probably, I mean, almost as damaging to the Lakers as Kobe Bryant. Like, completely worthless. But now he's become like a very important cog on this team, like a starting, like a 3-and-D guy.
Mm-hmm. Lest you be certain that the Lakers Schadenfreude era has ended, maybe, just maybe, the Lakers will choose Nick Young over D'Lo Russell.
It's looking that way.
That'd be amazing. But anyway, so apologies to Nick Young. You've been fantastic this year so far. And again, with the stealing the pass intended for Lou Williams, taking many, many steps, and then shooting a game-winning three against the Thunder. Spectacular play. All right, those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Are you on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles this holiday season? Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. Whether you're shopping for the geek in your life or you are that geek, Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. Every month, there's a different theme and new exclusive items you can only get with Loot Crate. Treat yourself or give a gift to someone you love. December's exclusive Rebellious Crate, featuring items from Assassin's Creed, Mr. Robot, Firefly, and more, is available now. So make sure you head to lootcrate.com/fastbreak and enter code FASTBREAK to save $3 off any new subscription today. And now for our steak and eggs best thing. What's the best thing you saw in the last week?
Well, it's pretty, we've been on the Joel Embiid wagon here at Fast Break Breakfast for some time now. And he's recently filed a trademark for the process, which in and of itself is great. But the reason he files this trademark is so that he can sell bottled Shirley Temples.
Oh.
Premixed Shirley Temples.
Premixed sugar water. So I believe that is the greatest thing about the NBA this week to me. It fits perfectly into our wonderful obsession with Joel Embiid and his affinity for fattening alcohol-free drinks.
So he will find his way into our steak and eggs every week. That's our goal this year. 52 weeks of Joel Embiid steak and eggs.
But
it's all I really care about.
It's amazing how absolutely aware he is of his silliness, his ability to just kind of own irony as a new...
And the heat.
Well, that is true. But Hassan Whiteside ate his lunch.
Scoreboard.
Here it goes.
Big numbers and a loss. That's right. Sounds like Hassan Whiteside. Sounds just like Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sad.
I'll keep it on. Our podcast seems to be kind of like staying on the same topics. I'm going back to Jordan, and I'm going back to the Grizzlies. I really didn't want to keep going to the Grizzlies, but since there's not going to be a Grizz epilogue this week, I feel like we can talk a little extra. But in the Grizz's destruction of the Hornets, Tony Allen one-on-one versus Marco Bellinelli created an actual organic crying Jordan face. Only this time it was tears of laughter. I hope you guys saw this.
Yes.
Oh, well, most definitely.
If not, look it up.
I was all over it on Twitter.
Yeah, Keith got like 80,000 retweets on that.
It was definitely a highlight. Tony Allen claims he was not staring down Jordan. I think Jordan just looked, and I've told you people before, if you've never seen Tony Allen up close, it's amazing and hysterical. Tony Allen was just being Tony Allen. He put Bellinelli into the spin cycle and then kind of flexed, kind of stared, kind of celebrated. And Jordan just, he couldn't take it. He just lost it.
Right.
It also was, I mean, it was kind of a tribute to Chandler Parsons hitting a three a couple days before and staring down his good bro, Mark Cuban.
Oh, yeah.
But Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban looked somber.
Yeah. Mark Cuban seemed a little more depressed about it.
Yeah. The sadness was real. That was crying Cuban face.
Right.
Although I don't know if Mark should cry or not, because Chandler's probably about to go on the IR anyway.
Yeah, and the
so, don't worry, Mark. You might have still won this game.
And the Mavs are truly, actually, maybe playing the better long game by just maybe quitting this season. I don't know them and
he's claiming they're not tanking, but they're kind of like doing the best kind of tanking where they're frisky, but yet in the end they do lose.
Right. The Heat should also get involved with that. Mm. Since we didn't plan this show, so actually, John, that was my steak and eggs as well.
Oh, so sorry.
No worries. I'll move on to a mild apology. Also, steak and eggs. Jamal Murray, who gave me some excitement earlier in the year,
Murray
with his Jacques watch. I do need to recognize he's been finding his groove for the Nuggets, and in the last couple games, he's had a 15-point quarter and a 16-point quarter. So he's starting to become. Looking very confident. He's hitting his shots, becoming a part of the Nuggets actually winning some games and not just blowing them at the very end. So, Jamal Murray, I see you. I recognize that you have coming into your own. And maybe, I don't know if it's just a short hot streak, but I'm excited to see what this guy's going to do. He's showing some of that promise that he was showing at Summer League. We're like, this guy, he could be a very exciting, dynamic scorer. All right, moving on to the opposite of that. The cream of wheat, worst of week. What's the worst thing you saw this week?
Well, let's go back to the Memphis Grizzlies. No, I'm just kidding. really? I could go with the Phoenix Suns, but I think I'm going to get more specific than that. Okay, let's play a game. I think it's a Sesame Street game. Which one of these things is not like the other? Which one of these basketball players does not belong? I'm going to read you a list of players. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Jeff Green, Evan Turner, Brandon Knight, Alex Lynn. Which one of those players doesn't belong, in theory?
Wait, I don't know if I follow. I would say Brandon Knight.
I would agree. Okay. However, those are right now the five worst players in the NBA, according to Plus Minus. And Brandon Knight is, in fact, the second worst player in the NBA behind, clearly, the worst player in the NBA, Evan Turner, which is pretty much common knowledge at this point. But that's two Suns starters since Tyson Chandler's been grieving.
Well, Brandon Knight's... Suns,
what's that?
I said Brandon Knight's six man.
Yeah, but he plays so much. He plays so many minutes. I don't even like giving the lip service to that six man thing, because then you end up with the bad six man of the year award and stuff like that. But I mean, such a poor performance from two integral players for the Suns. I mean, to be listed amongst Evan Turner and Jeff Green.
Well, I think it's, I mean, there's a lot to unpack in that list of players. Evan Turner, yes, the Trailblazers are struggling, but him being worst in plus minus on a team that, you know, is near 500, that's pretty bad. Yeah. Alex Lynn is, yeah, his starting minutes are terrible. And what's weird about the Suns is they have this bad starting unit, and then they're not even playing their young guys a ton. They're not playing Marcus Chris or Dragan Bender. They're like going down swinging with PJ Tucker and, you know, the Tyson Chandler minute, like Leandro Barbosa's playing. And it's like, I know those guys should be setting an example, but to keep losing and playing your 30-year-old guys is like, what's the point?
In a huge I told you so, the Suns are the worst team in the NBA. They are the worst.
Well, Devin Booker had, you know, he scored 30 points last game, like he'll do, but it let Bradley Beal scored 42. Come on now. Come on.
Yeah, no, I'm unimpressed. I mean, there's no silver lining here for the Spurs.
Suns.
For the Suns. Just blow it up.
Yeah.
They should be playing Chris. They should be playing Dragon. I mean, they should be doing all these things that they're not doing. It's horrible to watch.
But I mean, at least eye on the prize, they are losing. So I mean, but
okay,
yeah,
maybe you're right. What if they play those young guys? Maybe they wouldn't get that instant lotto classic.
Right.
Yeah.
Tank early, tank often.
Yeah. My cream of wheat worst thing is, I guess it's going to be the Raptors ending against the Kings, just for its strangeness. I recognize the officials got the call right. So what happened was the Raptors were inbounding the ball with 2.4 seconds left.
Did they?
Terrence, by rule, they got it right. So they inbound the ball to Terrence Ross, who hits a crazy like 30-foot fading three-pointer. Goes
been
in.
Strangely consistent this year, by the way. Very weird.
Yeah, yeah. So it goes in before the buzzer. Raptors think they've tied the game. Everyone celebrates. When we go to review, it turns out that DeMarcus Cousins deflected, made a winning play, I will say, deflected the amounts pass. The clock did not start. So by rule, and again, this rule makes sense to me when you have plays that there's like a second left or something. Like we saw this, the Courtney Lee play where Ryan Hollins probably tipped the ball, but we don't believe it. Like it makes sense to me that if you see the scorekeeper got it wrong, that then the officials can time it like based even in slow-mo, they have the timing down to know that like it took longer to make the shot. So in past instances, it made sense to me to wave the shot off, but it did not seem just for Terrence Ross to lose this play. One, because there was over 2 seconds left. It seemed like if he could have seen the clock, he would have shot the ball earlier. Like it does seem like the fair thing would be maybe to do it over. Or
the old playground do-over.
But I don't
the
know.
NBA.
I don't know how you would codify that to make it make sense in all scenarios. Because in other scenarios, where like you throw a lob and they decided like, oh no, the ball got hit, so a second ran off, the game's over. That makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. Like in that circumstance, it doesn't seem like it's fair to do a do-over. So I don't know what the rules should be. I almost wish, because I've been thinking about this. I almost wish for the Raptors fans and for just basketball fans, it seems more fair to tell the Kings, yes, he did deflect the ball, but oops, the error goes in favor of the people who hit the awesome shot. And I don't know if Raptors fans would be super upset. I mean, Kings fans would be as upset. It feels wrong when you see the buzzer beater go in well before the buzzer, then to have that waved off and just say, hey, sorry, game over.
That's not a fun game to experience live.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I mean, so again, I don't know what the fix is, but that ending bummed me out, and it seems like there should be something that feels more, I don't know, more sporting, more fair play.
So my worst of the week is the Timberwolves. While in the first half net rating are number one in the NBA, second half net rating they are 30th. And we are now looking at a team that it's literally Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Is Tibbs like wearing out his players somehow now microcosmically during the same game?
This is what I don't understand. He has these young, fresh legs that after a halftime should be able to come back and play better. But I think mostly it's the rotations that are being a little funky, and he's not really getting the run from his bench that he should be getting. But it's kind of probably statistically, you know, unsustainable for this kind of thing. They're probably not going to end up number one in the league in net rating for the first half of the whole season. But fatigue could be something, but it's just one of those weird things that you can't figure it out why a good coach like Thibs is bringing a team back from the second half into the second half with, you know, no kind of juice or gusto. And they're just losing it. You can see it when they, you know, another team makes a run on them. They kind of just hang their heads and they force shots. And it just seems like, you know, it happened against the Grizz. It just doesn't seem.
Well, the Grizzlies.
It's almost like they're a super young team.
Yeah. They're still,
at least they look better late, as of late, I think, anyways, except for the getting pounded by the Grizz, of course. Yes. But they've looked. I've been more impressed with them. And Vegas is certainly trying to bait you into taking the other side every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have to agree, but this is kind of like Thibs has his like weird philosophies that he adheres to that no one else does any longer. And that's just how he is.
Yeah. I think it's a give it time. It is a hilarious statistical anomaly.
Right.
And it has to be in their heads. Cause I know Minnesota fans are all talking about it. They know it's coming. Like, this is the big third quarter. Let's not blow it. And it's like, oh, we're blowing it.
Yeah,
we're blowing it again.
And that's a product of having a young team who kind of, you know, they might get in their own skulls about what's happening in the second half. And once the third quarter starts and they don't pull away like they did, you know, statistically playing so well in the first halves of their games, maybe it just gets into their, you know, their psyche and they lose their spurts, you know.
I can't wait till the Wolves and the Bulls play each other again because, I mean, my God, those two teams are probably going to put up 100 points in the first quarter because they're just on fire at the beginning of games.
Yeah, yeah, they start so strong. Mm-hmm. All right, those were our cream of wheat worst of weeks. Real quick, in honor of the Thanksgiving holiday, let's do a couple. Hassan Whiteside cocks it back to Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts. What else is going on in the league? I'll tell you one thing I'm noticing that also might have deserved an apology from John.
Uh-oh.
The New York Knickerbockers are playing kind of well.
Stapp's getting his.
Kristaps Porzingis, the unicorn, is a magical, fantastical creature.
Baby Dirk.
At his best game that I've seen against the suddenly lowly Blazers, putting up 31 points, playing some pretty nasty D, doing whatever he wanted to. I love it when he like puts it between the legs and steps back for the three.
It is, yeah, from a man over 7 feet tall. Although the poor Blazers, that was a scheduled loss. You put those guys in New York City for 4 days? Come on now. Dame Lillard's like just doing media for his rap album.
Yeah, he's in the
dropping
studio.
O's, is that the name of it?
Myers Leonard and Jake Layman are probably clubbing to 6 a.m. every day.
They were literally hanging out with Gary Busey.
Yeah, that is not a factual statement. So yeah, the New York party scene, maybe a bit of a hangover on the Blazers playing that game.
Gamblers have to watch that stuff.
Oh yeah. Well, it's like I know the Knicks got a win last week when I want to say the Nuggets were, I can't remember how many they lost, but it was a noon game for a West Coast team playing in New York, and you're like, yeah, of course. No, it was the Jazz. The Jazz came back and won. Be like, yeah, of course the Jazz look terrible at 12, you know, p.m.
Geez, for the Jazz,
Eastern.
That's Rumspringa. Letting the Mormons run wild.
I will say one thing I'm loving about the Knicks playing kind of well, Madison Square Garden, the home crowd booing Carmelo when he does ISOs in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
They're smart basketball fans.
I mean, you always say there's that cliche, like, oh, smart basketball people, you know, smart basketball fans, like the mecca of basketball. The booing
right
your franchise's kind of best player the last 5 years just because he's doing an ISO is awesome. That's the next level. You can't train, you know, like 29 other NBA markets. You can't train the fans to do that.
No. Well, it also requires a certain amount of snobbery. That's kind of, I know that's right in your wheelhouse.
That's right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. That's incredible. So, one of my things I've noticed this week, there's a lot of chatter about Kawhi Leonard's Twitter and who he follows.
Oh.
Reddit has been going a buzz about it.
I don't know about this, but can I give it a guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
Porn stars.
No, it's incredible. Kawhi Leonard only follows 6 accounts on Twitter. They are Jordan Brand, HEB, which is the grocery Spurs, store that he's sponsored by, Wingstop San Antonio, the Spurs, Impact Sports, which is another sponsor of his, and Jamal Crawford.
Wow.
Which no one knows.
Be weirder.
No one knows why Jamal
could
Crawford.
Could be Jordan Crawford.
Could be Jordan Crawford. Jamal Crawford, no one knows why, but a very sharp mind on Reddit, DJ Carbomb, says, because even on Twitter, Jamal Crawford is the sixth man.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's outstanding. Yeah.
So people have done like a brilliant mind connections on why Kawhi would follow him. And the only thing anyone can take is that Jamal mentioned Kawhi on a tweet from June 2014. And then
follow back, y'all.
Yeah. And then Kawhi made an account in June of 2014. So it's basically like, he probably asked Tim Duncan, what's this new form of telecommunications that we have?
You think he asked Duncan?
Yes, Duncan.
Yeah,
for
man.
Sure. That's see,
Tim
that's
Duncan,
how far
DM
out,
stands for Dungeon Master.
That's how far out of the loop Kawhi is. He just goes to Tim Duncan for all his technological advice. But yeah, Jamal Crawford even responded. He goes, I believed in him. Probably that's why. They never played in any like summer leagues or like off-season stuff. Weren't in the Olympics together. There was like no real connection. No one could figure it out. Never played on the same team. But Jamal Crawford's the guy. So
it's incredible. Yeah. That's worse than my Twitter game. Oh, God. I just follow things that give me like pizza coupons, Lyft codes.
I noticed in that Kings Raptors that had the fishy ending, the Kings did win that game under some controversy, but they also, I think it helped them. They finally adjusted their starting lineup. They finally moved our boy Kostas Koufos to the bench and had Rudy Gay play the four. I think, you know, they rolled out a normal lineup. So I will say RIP to the two center starting lineup. The Nuggets and the Kings rolled with it for a while. Both played under 500 ball, and on November 20th, it was no more. But I think the Kings have somewhere, even though things are getting weird with Jaeger not talking to Omri Caspi, if they just roll out pretty much normal-looking lineups, I think this team can be okay. Like, I mean, just a backup unit of, like, Kufis at the five, and then either, like, Matt Barnes at the four, and then, like, playing a couple guards. It just makes sense. Like, that's the way this team can actually be good, even though Boogie Cousins was terrible statistics-wise in that Raptors game. Like, I'm a little proud of old Stubborn Dave.
I was about to say, you just can't quit Jaeger.
No.
Well, man, let him go.
Headshots.
I never watch the Kings. It's the worst. Never.
It's kind of hard to watch, but it was one of the. I feel like it was one of those gaps where it was the only game on worth watching. But I,
you know,
I was
when you're
happy.
Watching on your iPad and like you can see all the games kind of, and you can, you know, sort of Ozymandias, you know, Minority Report touchscreen the thing out.
Yeah. But
my hand never does any sort of mystic moves near a Kings game.
Well, I was just also, this is a team I think I've said I like their talent on their roster outside of their point guard spot. Like,
right.
I like the way the roster breaks down, and I feel like you can make an interesting team out of the pieces, and they hadn't yet. But so since they did a few games ago, I'm now like, all right, I'll see how this goes. All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to the awards segment of the evening, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award. This is given each week to the worst performance in a box score. We had some doozies this week, nothing 0-for-11 worthy, but we have honorable mention, our boy Tyler Johnson, 1-for-9, Gordon Hayward with a 3-for-15, DeMar DeRozan, 3-for-15, John Wall with a true Stackhouse honorable mention, a 6-for-24.
Ooh.
But he had 15 dimes, 4 steals, 3 blocks. So, I mean, he was doing work. Anyway, our four nominees this week, Jabari Parker in a loss to the lowly, lowly Miami Heat.
Hey, quit piling on, dude. It hurts enough to watch him.
The Heat's struggling.
They're bad. They're only 6.5 games out of first, though. So.
No. Well, yeah. They're probably not too far out of the playoff picture. The East teams are all losing.
They're all bad. Yeah, they're 2 games out of the playoffs.
Right? Yeah. So. Anyway, Jabari Parker, 5 for 20. 5 for 20. 11 points, 8 boards, 2 assists, a steal, 2 turnovers. That's real bad. 5 for 20, 11 points. Robert Covington, 1 for 12, 4 points, 3 rebounds. That's also atrocious. This is a tough week. Jordan Clarkson, also 1 for 12 in a loss to the Bulls. Jordan Clarkson, 1 for 12, 5 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. And then Eric Gordon in a loss to the Thunder. 5 for 20.
Ooh. There goes that man.
But 13 points, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a block, 2 turnovers. So we have 2 guys going 5 for 20, 2 guys going 1 for 12.
So this is the biggest question I've always battled with iShop.
It's something. It's hard to suss out.
Because you get to is it the 20 shot? Yeah, he's made 5, and they've probably scored in double digits. If you've made 5 shots, you've scored in double digits. But the 20 shots and the balls it takes to get to that point when you are obviously off.
Yeah.
You know, I think it has a lot to do with when those 5 shots go in. And I know we don't look at that. It's only about the box score, but
I have no answer. I mean, there is no, you can't, you each have to go to your own God on this. Like
the best thing about Patrick Beverley coming back hasn't been his defense or his, you know, agitating the other player. It's been that it's limiting Eric Gordon's minutes.
Although, I mean, we have to say Eric Gordon has actually been shooting the ball real well. Like, he's been knocking shots down.
Well, you know, that's kind of what he's supposed to do.
Right.
So that's why it hurts when he does a 5 for 20. I want to give it to Eric Gordon, but you got to give it to B-Cov, right?
Yeah. I, the way I'm looking at this is breaking it down. Bob Covington's 1 for 12, I think, is worse than Jordan Clarkson's 1 for 12. So I'm throwing out Jordan Clarkson.
Okay.
Like Bob Covington.
It's between Jabari and B-Cov, I think.
I'm in firm agreement with you, John. So,
yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't know what 5 for 20, 11 points seems like high comedy, where 5 for 20, 13 points just seems like that's a bad game.
Right.
So I don't know why just those 2 points make a big difference. But yeah, I will vote first. I'm actually going to go Jabari Parker. 5 for 20, 11 points. That is so
seconded.
That is so horrible.
Seconded does the motion carry.
I think I think we have it.
A unanimous. Bob Covington off the hook with one of the worst game scores of the season.
Yeah.
Basketball Reference shout out, like a negative game score. But Jabari Parker, just chucking it.
When you
shoot 20 times, only score 11 points and lose to the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
That's the trifecta. All right, congratulations, Jabari Parker. You are this week's International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner. All right, parfait away, and then we'll do a little. Actually, let's go and do our Grizz epilogue now. We've been talking about them.
We have anything left to talk about?
There's not much, I mean, there's nothing to say other than they're the greatest team that ever played the game.
Well, I will say the things we talk about the Grizz is they stunned us by beating the Clippers.
Yeah.
And even after that game, I was still like, that was more of a Porzingian unicorn magical game. Right. Like Mark and Mike hitting all those threes. But then they humiliated the Mavericks, which is no big deal. But they held them to, 64 points. Then they crushed the Timberwolves in a game where they're playing one of the best offenses and held them to 71 points. And now you're like, oh, this team plays defense. But then to go into Charlotte and win, now it's like, are the Grizzlies actually good?
Mm.
And I say that
Keith,
knowing full well I'm cursing them for the Wednesday night Sixers game.
Only favored by 4.5 points against the Sixers.
I think that's a huge... So James Ennis is now out.
With
a calf strain to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Chandler Parsons has a bone bruise to his non-surgically repaired knee to be reevaluated in 2 weeks.
Poison pill, Mavericks, pop screen.
But you do have a very favorable next 3 games with Sixers, then Heat at home and Heat away.
That Thanksgiving break, Heat.
Right. So
3 wins, baby.
I think it'll give you guys some time to rest up. I will be, please.
You're lucky I'm out of town, Chuck.
Please don't let the Heat win one of those games because our group thread on the Slack chat.
Yeah, our Patreon supporters.
It's just going to be my balls. I'm just going to be sending pictures of my balls to you guys nonstop. So
I'm really curious to see what kind of tattoos Chuck's gotten on his balls lately.
It's only Marc Gasol's face. That's all I got.
Oh, yeah, ballsy indeed.
The Grizz epilogue, since we already talked about it a lot, is just... I'm nervous to talk good about the Grizzlies because, like, I mean, they are back down in pace. They are now, I think, they are 26th in pace. They are fourth. No, they're 28th in pace. They are fourth in defensive rating. Grit Grind is back.
Hey, but we're
the
like,
the Grindfather is back.
Our point differential's not like it usually is. So oh, maybe it's a new Grit Grind.
The Grizzlies' point differential is positive.
What?
Like, it's a. It's a magical, and again, Marc Gasol shows no sign of slowing down. I mean, this is all, I wonder if it's built on, if it's made, a mirage.
Well, Mike Conley's not going to finish the year as the top three-point field goal percentage shooter in the league, I promise you that.
Right, Mike Conley is averaging 20 points a game, shooting 50% from three. A 40-year-old Vince Carter is killing people. I mean, even though Marc Gasol's shooting percentage is low, he might be the greatest clutch shooter we've seen since Bob Ori.
He's also draining his shooting percentage may be low, but you know, half of his shots are now from three instead of two.
Yeah. So
it's just terrifying.
It's true. I will mention, hey, the Patreon Slack chat, which is for our Patreon supporters. If you want to join that, go to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. I will say one of our supporters, Sam, came up with a great stat, the AD, which is when one player, such as Anthony Davis, his statistical output equals that of all four other starters. And I think AD's had two of those this year, which is pretty fantastic. So
yams.
That's a great little stat. All right. Before we go home or go wherever we go for our Thanksgiving holiday, what's the parfait away? What's the thing you're looking forward to this week?
End of the month, first Fast Break Breakfast Grizzlies watch party.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's for our Nashville people.
Fly in everybody.
On November 30th, or if you're in Nashville,
buy
on November
tickets.
30th, come to Edley's East for the Raptors game at 6:30 Central. We'll be having some drink specials. We'll be having some giveaways.
Let's make a Grizzlies Raptors watch party. Raptors fans, come on down.
Come on, Raps.
Man, bring the Raptors fan. I like the Raptors. See
come
if DeMar DeRozan can keep it going.
I think not with TA on it.
I think my parfait away is the kind of the thickening of the Eastern Conference. Like, I thought that the Celtics, Hornets, Raptors, Hawks were kind of going to pull away from the rest of the pack, and they still might, but those guys have all kind of tripped up a little bit in the last, like, 7-8 days. So I like that, yeah, even though the Heat have been terrible, like, the Knicks have found themselves back in the playoff race. The Bucks are in the playoff race. The Magic are back in the playoff race, so... Just that thickening of those
Vogel.
Eastern Conference teams has... Oh, yeah, Vogel's starting to get what he wants.
Vogel.
Alfred Payton starting to show up.
Lord Alfred Hayes.
mine is the... I'm going to be watching the Heat and Grizz play some back-to-backs.
Oh, yeah. Heat and Grizz back-to-back. Thanksgiving holiday.
If the first
I'll
game...
I'll see you when I see you, Chuck. I'll see you when I see you.
If the first game is awful, I will not be watching the second one. For me,
no matter what, Hassan's gonna get his.
Oh, he's well. I'm very interested in seeing him up against Mark the Shark and see.
Mark is back.
Yeah, and he looks great, and it'll be a true test because you know he played well against a Joel Embiid who isn't you know a defensive force yet, but is a young fresh center and played
well
against.
I don't think Hassan's
him.
Gonna get 16 boards a game when Mark's got him out by the 3-point line.
Yeah, Chuck. Well, that's
there is no chance. That Hassan Whiteside guards Marc Gasol at the 3-point.
Yeah, I know.
He's just
right.
going to let Mark shoot. Yeah. He's just going to be like, I can't get a block shot out there.
Can't get stats out there.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys, thanks for listening. We hope you guys have a safe and fun holidays. Check us out again, fastbreakbreakfastpodcast.com. Whoever made joeycrawford.tech redirect to fastbreakbreakfastpodcast.com, appreciate it.
Genius.
Shout out. So, go to joeycrawford.tech. Check us out. Follow us on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Like us on Facebook. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.